Good evening. This is supposed to be a Sunday school, so it's supposed to be a bit less formal, and twice pastors called it preaching, and in Sunday school he's usually over there on the corner with his copy, watching. So things are going to be a bit more formal, but that's okay. I guess the Lord wanted me to do this particular message. I'm thankful to do it. I've changed it. Last week we talked on Sunday school, we had Carl, and Carl was talking about the wise men. And I thought it was very appropriate, I appreciated it, but Carl really strayed from the reservation as far as the script. So I'm following suit tonight. I had something all prepared, Pastor gave it to me, it was really good. But in reading it, don't get me wrong, it was excellent. But I was really looking for something that would kind of open our eyes a bit and have us take a look at what we're about to read from the book of Luke with different eyes. Okay? Sometimes we look at this and we think, oh, gee, what a nice story. And we've all heard it. And the kids have heard it in junior church. And they've heard it in Sunday school. And it almost gets to the point where it's rote. And I was looking for something. And I happened to find, not a monologue or whatever, but kind of a characterization of what happened. And it's biblical. We're going to read from God's Word. But I'm going to try to elicit from you, especially the women, your ideas of what it was like when you were in a similar situation and you found yourself engaged. But before we do that, let's go to God's Word. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered in her mind, What manner of greeting should this be? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now we've all heard this before, numerous times. But I'm really looking forward to trying to get the ladies involved, and it's hard in this particular, I'm not down there close, it's not an intimate setting. But I was hoping to elicit from the ladies some of your ideas of what you felt like when you were engaged. And so I'm asking you to use your imagination. We're going to go through some scenarios to see if we can kind of bring this to light, where it means more to you individually. And it's not a fairy tale. It's God's Word. It really happened. Okay? There are two versions of the Christmas story in the New Testament. Okay? I've done some studying back and forth, and it's from two different points of view. Matthew kind of tells Joseph's story from his perspective, and Luke tells it from Mary's. Okay? Now, if you doubt that, just go back and take a look. For instance, Luke 2:51, the quote from there is, Mary treasured these things in her heart. Okay? It's rather unique in God's Word, the way it's presented. So what do we know? What did we just go through reading? What do we know about Mary? Well, we know that she had a relative named Elizabeth, who was barren, who was now in her sixth month. It's estimated that she was 70 years old. And if you look back in the beginning of Luke and how this all transpired, this was a miraculous thing that happened. We know that she's young. In fact, in some commentaries, they're guessing she may have been as young as 12 or 13. That's scary. I mean, when you think of your own children, I mean, Emma's almost 10. And Emily probably, I think she is 10. Can you imagine that? 2 or 3 years older than them. She's a devout believer of God. She's poor. And she's very much in love. Okay. The last one, her being in love, is a very big part of the story. Mary's a teenager in love. What does that mean? I mean, I imagine at that age, I have things from a guy's perspective. What do we know? In my first date, I can't remember what it was. I don't remember what Joanne was wearing. I don't remember what I was wearing. I forget where we were. I mean, she's laughing. But women have an entirely different perspective. You remember those things. For us, sometimes us guys, I think we're just kind of oblivious. The other thing that we know about is that Mary was pledged to Joseph. Now, what does that mean? In looking through and the study that I've done, it's stronger than an engagement. Okay, she was betrothed to Joseph. It kind of means that they had formally agreed to wed. Okay, usually this is something that the father would start the proceedings of that, and there was an agreement made. Okay, and so there's a formal agreement to marry, but the wedding hasn't taken place yet. Okay, so there's a pledge and there's a wedding feast. You have the pledge here, the wedding feast is here. It might be 6 months in between. It may be a year in between. But during that period of time, the couple was considered to be married, but a few different things than especially what's happening with today. One, they did not live together. They did not consummate the marriage physically. The custom of that day, Mary would live with her parents, probably in Nazareth. And after a public wedding feast, then Mary and Joseph would come together and they'd live as man and wife. Well, this all takes place during that period of time where that pledge was in between the marriage feast and the agreement. Everything in Luke 1 and 2 happens in that background. Okay, so let's say that Mary's 16 years old, just for the sake of argument. That means she's Hope's age. Scary thought. Right, Hope? Do you remember what it was like at that time, ladies, when you were engaged? Okay? Like teenagers everywhere. You knew the wedding was, 5 or 6 months away. What was going on? Do you work on the guest list? Decorations? The food? Planning the music. What is the bride going to wear? What is the groom going to wear? I mean, all of those things. I mean, I just did what I was told. Okay? Show up, here's the date, here's the time, or whatever. I didn't really care about all that other stuff. But for a woman, from Mary's perspective, it was a very real thing. Who's going to be coming to the wedding? Okay? People from out of town, they're going to be coming. Who's going to house them? All of those logistics that to guys are just superfluous details, okay, to the women, it's a really big deal. Now, at this time, I would imagine Mary had been very, very happy. And right along this period of time, God decides to intervene in his perfect time. He's about to ask an unknown teenage girl to take part in something that's so shocking. It's totally unbelievable. Okay? What God asked Mary to do is going to change her life forever. We could say, gone are the dreams of the beautiful wedding, gone are the days of the sweet anticipation of what's going to be happening. Girlish hopes for a quiet life in the home that she would personally and decorate. Most of all, there's going to be rumors spread in the countryside. We're going to get to that in a moment. There's going to be a wedding feast, but it's not going to be the way that she planned for it to be. there's going to be concerns. And those concerns are going to be that there's going to be an uneasy cloud of suspicion over her relationship with Joseph. And I know this is supposed to be a Sunday school and we've got children here, so I'm going to tread softly here. Things are going to happen. She's going to get married. But things are not going to go the way that she expected them to go. And I think it's important for us to remember that to somebody who's Hope's age, this is a huge deal. We're not talking about someone in their 30s, 40s, or whatever, that is grounded in a lot of life's experiences. Okay? Somebody that is has a lot of confidence and has a lot of experience behind them. We're talking about a child. And it's amazing how God uses her. I just go through reading the text from Luke. So it begins in the sixth month. God sends an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Joseph is a descendant of David. The virgin's name is Mary. They let us know what is about to really happen. That this episode is not a figment of some writer's imagination. It's the real deal. So what does Mary see? She saw an angel, Gabriel. We know his name because the text tells us that. We know a few other things as well. We know that it happened in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And I'm wondering if this is a startling revelation to Mary. Elizabeth is obviously a relative of Mary, so here's her relative in the sixth month that doesn't elaborate or whatever. Did Mary know that her relative was in the sixth month of her pregnancy? Especially if she's 70 years old. I would think that that would be huge news. We know what happened while she was pledged to be married to Joseph. There's some other verses that are in here that are very important. One, verse 27 mentions that she's a virgin. Okay, the Greek word parthenos leaves no room, no doubt on the issue. It means a young woman of marriageable age who's never consummated the act of marriage. Second, we have Mary has no idea about what's about to happen. She's completely in the dark. She had no warning ahead of time. So what I'd like to do, and please indulge me here, I'd like you to use your imagination and try to think of how this may happen. Now, I know this is my imagination or whatever, but it is biblically based, and let's try to figure out a scenario. What might have happened? So let's set the stage. Here we are one day, Mary, say a 16-year-old, is around her house in Nazareth. She's probably helping her mom around the house. Let's further suppose it happens, let's say it happened at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So what's Mary doing? She's doing her chores. She's thinking about what's going to be happening tonight. Gee, am I going to see Joseph? Gee, what am I going to wear when he comes over? I'm looking forward to seeing him. What is my mom going to have for dinner? All of these are the kinds of things that may be mundane facts, but they're real. And they're probably things that were going through her mind. What kind of a scarf am I going to wear tonight? Now, we know that she's poor, but she probably had a few options. Maybe she's thinking about taking a walk along the road leading to Capernaum after the meal with Joseph, a little romantic walk. I mean, after all, they are betrothed to one another. So Mary can hardly wait for Joseph's arrival in that evening. And what happens? Her mother interrupts her daydreaming or whatever, wants her to fetch some water at the well. Mary's happy to do it because she's going to be thinking about Joseph and she's in her own little world. She's a teenager in love. So let's say she's on her way, got her bucket, ready to get her water, and she hardly sees the stranger that is standing by the olive tree in her backyard. In fact, she probably wouldn't have even noticed him. She was kind of daydreaming. But he's 6 feet tall, dark complexion with medium brown curly hair, maybe a closely cropped beard. She glances up at him as if to say, "Excuse me." Something makes her hesitate. Wasn't fear exactly. But all she's saying to herself, what is this strange man doing in my backyard? And then she gets spooked when he says, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Now, I imagine Mary didn't know what to make of that. It's as if someone you've never seen comes up to you and says, good news. You've been chosen for a special blessing. How do you respond to that? I mean, this is a stranger. You don't know this person. Verse 29 tells us that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting that this would be. It's 2 in the afternoon. She's 16 years old, about to be married, dreaming of Joseph along the walk, the road to Capernaum with her betrothed. And now some stranger comes up and says something bizarre to her. Ladies, what would you do? You're 16 years old. Okay? But that's not where it stops. Now Gabriel says, he proceeds to tell her something that, to use a 20th century term, would probably just set her off and blow her mind, so to speak. And he says, Mary, you're going to have a baby. And not just any baby. She's going to give birth to the Son of God. Now, what do you think? How do you think she'd respond? What would you have done in that situation? The angel says to her, fear not, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow. What do you say to that? You're 16. You're in love. You have your life kind of planned out, how you'd love to have it happen, and this happens to you. How do you respond to that? Do you argue? You ask for clarification? Do you say, who are you and how did you get in my backyard? What do you do? You know, no one would have blamed Mary if she had had any of those responses. What's amazing is that Mary only asked one question. A technical matter had to be cleared up. And she said, how can this be? Since I am a virgin. Perfectly natural question. Mary's betrothed, but not formally married. She's never been with her soon-to-be husband, and she is going to have a son. Perfectly logical question. In essence, she says to the angel Gabriel, all right, I'm willing to do my part, but you need to explain to me how this is going to happen. That's real faith. I mean, she had to be terrified. But her only question was, how was this going to happen? Mary really was believing the impossible. And that's what this was really about. It's trusting God when the facts argue against it. You're going to have a son. I'm a virgin. The two just do not go together. Ladies, what would you have done? How would you have responded? Now, I know this is a one-time thing. And the Lord intervened. It was his perfect time. But I think it's very important that we recognize the kind of situation that she was in. Gabriel gives her an explanation. And his explanation was this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The key point in Gabriel's explanation is that what is about to happen to you, Mary, will be the result of direct intervention by God. Truly remarkable. I mean, that's the miracle of Christmas, right there. The Holy Spirit is an agent of the virgin birth. Overshadowing, when it talks about that in God's Word, is the means of the virgin birth. The Son of God is the result of that virgin birth. Now, sometimes This suggests that something that is often denied in evangelical circles, the virgin birth was necessary. And it talks about that, and I don't want to elaborate on that too much. But I think it's important for us to realize the situation that Mary was in. Can you imagine when this happens and Gabriel leaves and she goes back with her... I mean, did she even remember to fill the bucket of water? Can you? I mean, really? I mean, she just got blown away, and there she is, and she's actually seen this. It's not a dream. She's actually seen Gabriel. She had a conversation with an angel, and she's changed forever, and she's got her bucket of water, and she goes back to her mom. What do you say? What kind of a look was on her face? She had to be startled. She had to be white as a ghost. I think it's important for us to remember that, and to remember that the fact that this 16-year-old girl showed so much faith and trust in her Lord, that to me, going through and reading this, it made me feel guilty. It made me feel ashamed that many times I just do not show the kind of faith that I should show. God's powerful presence will rest upon Mary, so that she will bear a child who will be the Son of God. I mean, that's just simply put. That's basically what happened. Neither God nor Gabriel demands of Mary that she must understand everything. Boy, that's huge. That is key for us to realize. Okay? What is required of her is this, that she believes and that she willingly submits. How about you? Can you put yourself in a situation, maybe not the guys, we can't appreciate this, but the ladies could. We've got to remember, and it talks about in God's Word, that nothing is impossible with the Lord. And this is a miracle that we're talking about here. Not just the miracle of Christ's birth, but also the miracle of John the Baptist's birth, with a woman who's 70 years old. Very, very different, the responses of the parents of John the Baptist and the parents, Mary, of Jesus. I mean, there was doubting to the point where that poor priest couldn't talk. The Lord took away his ability to talk. Mary wasn't like that. Mary, in humble faith, submitted to the Lord. Just wanted to read this quote. It says, Mary, and this is basically what Gabriel said. He says, Mary, if you doubt my word, take a look at Elizabeth. She's expecting her first child, even though she's too old to have children. If God can do that for her, don't you think he can do this for you? Now, that's it's not a direct quote, but basically, God's word, when you read it and look at it, that's basically what was happening. And I really felt that that was a gift from the Lord to Mary, realizing the situation that he had put her in, that he was letting her know, okay, here's something else that also was going on. It was probably an invitation for her to believe it, but you're to check it out. Okay, for nothing is impossible with God. He's able to do anything he decides to do. If he wants to cause a virgin to conceive, he can do it. Mary's answer was, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Imagine getting that kind of a response. Mary said yes, yes to God, yes to the impossible, yes to the plan of God. If that didn't happen, we wouldn't have a Christmas. And I was thinking of all the verses and the words and the lyrics that we were just reading or singing, and it makes you realize that Mary played a key role in this. Now, as somebody of a Catholic background, I realize, okay, now, because I'm saved, but as a Catholic, boy, we really thought that Mary was something special. I mean, you had God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, and you had saints, and I know this is certainly, I'm not espousing this, but as a Catholic, this was part of Catholic doctrine. But Mary had a special place above the saints and below the Lord. If you don't believe me, just drive through some Catholic neighborhoods where you see the tub emptied halfway or buried halfway in the backyard with a Madonna with a light on. There are a lot of Catholics who very meaning well venerate the Virgin Mary. Now, we certainly have to hold her in high regard. Okay? And it says right in God's Word that we're to do that. But make no mistake about it. Mary needed a Savior just as much as you and I did. Okay? Now, that's a startling revelation to Catholics. And I remember when I became a Christian, wrestling with those kinds of doctrines that I had learned over the years. Many of you know, I 8 years of Catholic school, and then 4 years of Catholic high school, and then altar boy, and almost became a Christian Brother of Island. And because those were the teaching order at Catholic Memorial High School that I attended. But it's important for us to realize that Mary was not without sin. Okay? A lot of folks, Catholics, would dispute that. They would really be upset about that. But God's Word says otherwise. Okay? Mary needed a Savior just as much as you and I did. And she acknowledged that as well. Can you imagine the situation that Mary was in? Even after Jesus was born, when she hears all of, when she sees unfold in front of her what's happening with her son. Okay? It didn't all happen at once. If she knew everything that was going to happen to her on the day that she met Gabriel, what do you think her answer would have been? If she knew about the heartache that was coming ahead, what do you think that she would have said? I've got some questions for you at the end that I just want to run by you. And some of them have got to do with that. What do you think Mary did when she got back and she had to come face to face with Joseph, her intended? How do you break the news to him? Now, we know from reading the gospel that Joseph was an honorable man. He must have been heartbroken. He's ready to put her away privily in the King James, which means he was very concerned. He was going to divorce her. He was going to put her away privately as to not make a public spectacle. He loved this woman. And if it hadn't been for a dream that he had, and he was told not to shy away from taking Mary as his wife, things might have been very different. But the Lord in his perfect timing and his perfect power worked things out that Joseph had a change of heart and did take Mary. You know, we know the end of the story, but we tend to overlook the possibility that there could have been a divorce. Sometimes we in our everyday lives say, I wish I knew what the future holds for me. How many of you have heard that? How many of you have heard people, even listening to the radio, here's what the horoscope is today, and here's what this is and that is. People make millions of dollars trying to prognosticate what's going to happen a year down the road and what's going to happen today. My question to you is, do you really want to know? If you knew what was going to be happening and all the heartache or whatever you were going to go through, do you think that you would have stayed even faithful to the Lord? God gives us enough faith for one step at a time. I can't help but think that the Lord was with Mary when she met with Gabriel at that particular time. Mary believed God when things seemed to be impossible, and the neat thing too was Mary never looked back. She said, let it be done to me as you said, and she didn't look back. The question now is, we as Christians, what can we take away from this? Besides it being a nice story that we've tried to embellish a bit to try to get us to understand what Mary was going through, what can we take away from this? Are you willing to believe the impossible? Okay. Mary said yes, and because of that, we have a Christmas. If she hadn't, the Lord could have done things differently. I understand that. Okay. But here are some of the questions that I would ask you to think about. And ladies, I'd like to know how you'd answer them. And I don't want hands, but just answer them in your heart. Few things before I get to that. God chose Mary because he trusted her. He knew she was willing to believe the impossible. He also knew that she was willing to pay the price for that belief. And there was some price. There was a price that she had to pay. He knew she was willing to bear a child out of wedlock in order to bring God's Son into the world. Mary said yes to shame and glory. She said yes to God's power. She said yes to the impossible. And by saying yes, this burden, she had a burden, 33 years of turmoil and heartache. As a result of this decision, she had joy. She was the mother of God's Son. I'm sorry, she was the mother of the Son of God. Excuse me. There was a reward for her. Unintended, not something that she was looking for. Among women, there has never been anyone greater. There is a special place in history and in God's Word for Mary. If somehow Mary could be here today and we could ask her, was it worth it? Do you think she'd say yes? I think she would. Mary stands as a model for all believers, but especially for women. She is a model of openness to great possibilities. She is a model of faith in the face of many doubts. And Mary also kind of models what we had been talking about, that nothing is impossible with God. What does God want from us? And what can we take away from this in looking at Mary meeting with Gabriel? Do we need total comprehension of what's going to happen in the future in order for us to trust the Lord? No. That's impossible. We can't do that. In fact, it's probably better that we don't know. If we did know, maybe some of us would quit. Hopefully not, but maybe. Does the Lord want us to have perfect knowledge of the Bible? I mean, he certainly wants us, we should strive for that, but no. God wants from us what he wanted from Mary. He wants simple faith. Okay? And that we will keep his word in. He will keep his word in unlikely and unexpected ways. But we have to trust him. We have to believe. We need to pray for the courage to exercise the faith that the Lord has given us when we became believers. That is really important. And we've got to be more like Mary. Willing to believe in spite of our doubts. I have no doubt that Mary had a ton of doubts. I mean, I'm 61 years old. I have doubts. But I've lived a long life in comparison to what Mary had. She's just a child. Again, Faith's age. Nothing against you, Faith, but you haven't seen much in life. You're just kind of getting there. And she was put in such a situation that it was just amazing. Yet look how she responded. I mean, I would love to have met her parents. You know what I mean? Just to see what kind of parents they were, that she would respond in such a way. So, I know that was very different. I wasn't really sure how it was going to go. But I hope it makes us think about what really happened during that period of time that Mary met Gabriel and what we can take away from it. We've got to believe. And we've got to trust the Lord. And we just did a whole series on that.
Let's close in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity tonight to look into your word and to get a better understanding of how you work in the minds of, and the hearts and lives of simple people willing to obey you and not to look back and to trust you. Help us, Lord, to do the same and to be able to take that away from what we've learned this evening. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.